Well,
let's check in with Scott Muchenbaker, who is executive chef downtown at the Beef Steak Club. How you doing, man?
Good. How about yourself, Jack?
Good. How's she looking?
She ravishing.
You know, I'm joking, right?
I hope I get to take a picture with her today, but I'm lucky.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
so
all
how
right.
many national championships do you have, young man?
Well,
you see?
None.
And now
that's why I'm hoping.
By the way, coming up in about half an hour, give or take a couple, we're going to be talking with Brian Schott of Blueprint Computers, who is back from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and so we're going to find out what kind of geekery he's been up to. But let's talk comfort food, Scott Muchenbaker. When that subject came up, I said, "How about comfort food?" And you fired back with,
"Yep, let's do it." So,
fried chicken,
mac and cheese, and then we're going to do some Brussels sprouts with bacon and, I mean, just good old hearty stuff.
And this will be podcast. I did podcast again today on my Facebook page, a link to KFGO.com where you can get Scott's recipes for hot soups and stews for cold nights and days. It is posted to Facebook, too. But anyway, all right, where do we begin, Scott Muchenbaker?
Well, let's start off with a little fried chicken. And to do this, I mean, I think everybody knows at this point, you're going to need a heavy bottom kettle or like cast iron. Cast iron's the best for this dish, or unless you have a deep fryer, which I'm assuming most home cooks don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But for the breading, what we're going to do is 2 cups of all-purpose flour, a half cup of cornstarch. The cornstarch helps to make it really, really crispy. It's used in a lot of like Chinese dishes because it gives everything a really, really nice crispness. So, and then we're going to season that with 1 tablespoon of cayenne pepper, 1 tablespoon of paprika, 1 teaspoon of cumin, 1 tablespoon of dried oregano, 1 tablespoon of salt, and 1 tablespoon of pepper.
I have all those ingredients. I'm ready.
I think everybody does. I mean, every well-stocked pantry should have all that. So what you're going to do is you're going to cook this in vegetable oil. You could use canola or peanut oil. You don't want to use olive oil because olive oil has a lower flash point, smoke point, and it's going to give your fried chicken an off flavor. I mean,
okay.
Olive oil is a better application for sauteing things and Mediterranean cuisine, things of that nature. So,
okay, thanks for that tip.
Absolutely. And so what you're going to do is you're going to cook that to an internal temperature of 165. And when you do the fried chicken, you want to do something with a bone in. Bone in is going to help keep it crispy. And another way, or not crispy, excuse me, juicy rather. And another way to keep retain some of this juiciness in your breasts and everything is brining your chicken. So what you can do, just a simple, easy brine, is 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of salt, about 2 gallons of water, throw in some peppercorns and a couple bay leaves, and that's just a really simple brine. And just do that overnight, about 12 to 18 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when you take it out of the brine, do you make a point to dry it off special?
Yeah. Dab it down with a dry cloth just to get it, get all that excess salt and everything else that might be on there.
Okay, now we're going to go back to the stuff we made. Right? The flour is okay.
Yeah. So what you'll do is you're gonna make a an egg wash, and what you'll do is you'll start out with just plain flour, and then you're gonna take an egg wash, which what you do is about 5 eggs, whole eggs, and about 1/4 cup of milk. You're gonna whisk that up, and that's gonna be your egg wash. So you go flour, then you do the egg wash, and then you will go into the dredge, the flour and all the other seasonings and stuff. And then you're just going to slowly put this in your hot oil. You're going to want get a candy thermometer and put this in your hot oil and try and maintain a temperature of between 300 and 375 degrees at all time. Don't go over that 400 mark because it can get really, really dangerous at that point. Boiling over, things of that nature. So just be really, really careful when you get this hot oil around. So
all right.
And yeah, so just cook that and there you go.
Now, on the flouring and all of that, I may have just gotten lost, but you put it in the flour and all the spices that you prepared after the egg dredge?
Yep, after the egg dredge.
Okay.
It's a old thing with cooks. It's flour, batter, flour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just
Okay.
So yeah, it's you make sure when you're doing it, you do a dry hand and a wet hand. because otherwise you're going to get flour stuck all over your hand if you're putting, you know, your hand in the egg wash and then putting it into the flour. So
I see. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So a lot of tips, and there is the fried chicken, and let's have a macaroni and cheese other entree.
Yes, let's. So what I will start out with, you're going to do another heavy bottom pot. You know, again, cast iron works really great for this application. So we're going to start out with 1 pound of diced bacon. And you're just going to put this on a medium heat, and we're going to render all that really, really good bacon fat out. And then we're going to start with 3 tablespoons of butter. You throw that into the bacon fat after you've removed the bacon. Wow. Set the bacon aside. And then we're going to do 2 tablespoons of chopped garlic.
Now, wait a minute. So you've got bacon fat going there, and we're putting butter in it, too?
Well, yeah, Jack. This it's comfort food.
This is great. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep going.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh.
So in that that butter and bacon fat mixture, we're going to throw in about 2 tablespoons of chopped garlic, and you're going to brown that garlic. Just keep stirring that. Yeah. And then we're going to deglaze that. You can deglaze it with anything, any flavor that you want to introduce, like beer, white wine, bourbon, you know, whatever you want to do. If you want to throw a Budweiser in there or a Guinness or, you know, whatever the doctor's got on the shelf. So,
wow.
And okay, so, and then we're just going to reduce that down a little bit, and then we're going to add 1 quart of cream and keep this on a medium heat, constantly stirring it, because you can scorch your cream and it's going to give a really bad flavor.
Getting good.
So then we're going to add in 1/2 cup of cheddar cheese, 1/4 cup of blue cheese, and 1/2 cup of Gruyere. I like the blue cheese in there because it's gives it a bit of a pungency, a little bit of a tang.
Right.
But I just recently found out I'm allergic to blue cheese.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How did you find out? What happened?
I had a gentleman come into the restaurant, and we have this blue cheese gnocchi on the menu, and he wanted to order this dish, and he wanted to substitute that side for something else. And I said, you got something against blue cheese gnocchi? What's your problem, buddy? And he's allergic to penicillin, and so there's a lot of the same chemical makeup in blue cheese as there is in penicillin.
You're kidding.
No.
And you're allergic to penicillin.
Yeah.
Have you?
So
had,
am I.
Have you, stay well, away from the blue cheese and the gorgonzola.
Well, why? I mean,
I love blue cheese.
What happens when you eat blue cheese?
The way he explained it to me is it affects a certain part of the body. I don't really want to say it over the air.
Your bowels?
No, not that one.
Okay.
You got it.
But if you consume too much of this blue cheese or whatever, it will affect this certain part of the body, and then the doctor's got to cut them off.
Well, so, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't think this pertains to you, Sandy, so you can relax.
Right.
Oh, man.
It was devastating to me because I was like, come on, blue cheese or those? I mean,
have you had problems? I mean, when you eat blue cheese, do you hurt or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be damned.
I'll notice, like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be in a lot of pain.
I'll be darned.
I cut the blue cheese out of my diet and... Haven't had a problem since.
You know, I am allergic to penicillin, but I just had blue cheese on a salad 2 nights ago.
And what? No. Did anything hurt?
No.
No. Okay, well, no. See, don't worry.
In fact, I have never felt better.
Well, there you go.
Okay, now, have we lost track?
Where are we? We lost track. Okay, so we got that that cream going, and we got that on medium heat, and we're constantly stirring it, and then we got the 1/2 cup of cheddar cheese in there. 1/4 cup of the blue cheese. Oh man.
Yeah.
1/2 cup of 1/2 cup of Gruyere or Swiss, and what you just want to make sure, like, your cheddar and your Gruyere is finely shredded, and just make sure you always got this on a medium heat. If you go above a medium heat, what you can do is the way the cheese is made up, it will actually get really, really grainy on you, and so you just want to do this really, really slowly, constantly stirring. So once all your cheese is incorporated into the cream, you're going to add about 1 pound of cooked noodles. You can use any kind of noodles, as long as it's like in a tube form, like a penne elbow macaroni, because that tube form helps to hold that sauce inside of the noodle, and that's what makes mac and cheese.
Oh, dang.
So then we're going to add all those noodles, those cooked noodles, and now we're going to season it with just some hot sauce, some fresh chopped parsley and thyme, some fresh cracked black pepper, some salt, and then throw in that bacon, stir that up, and get yourself some breadcrumbs, and just butter those up, put it over the top, bake it off. I like to throw some tomatoes on top just because I like a little bit of acidity in with it.
Yeah. 790 KFGO 123, more comfort food with Scott Muchenbaker in just a moment. But Shauna Olson, let's close up the commodities on a Friday, please.
USDA trimmed national corn production slightly to 13.9 billion bushels in its crop production annual summer report. That came out at 11 o'clock this morning. The USDA slightly increased harvested acreage to 87.6 million acres, but trimmed the national average yield to 158 bushels per acre. And let's see, they did a lot here this morning, and we have some other news in soybeans as well, and soybeans have been responding positively to the information. March corn is up 19 at 431, Minneapolis wheat for March down 9 at 620. Soybeans for March, they're up 4 at 1277, feeders March down 75 at 168.07, April down 92 at 168.70. Live cattle, February up 42 at 136.97, April up 37 at 137.25. Lean hogs for February, they are up 60 at 85.85.
It's 24 minutes after 1 o'clock. The Jack and Sandy Show is underway on a Friday. And we have Scott Muchenbaker with us. Scott Muchenbaker of the Bee State Club in downtown is with us. So, Scott, here we are in our pursuit of comfort food, and we've had fried chicken and mac and cheese, and next on the agenda is...
Bacon Brussels sprouts.
Sounded good already, baby.
Well, you know, we got our protein, we got our starch, now we got to have some vegetables that have bacon in them, right? So what we'll do is we'll quarter up half a pound of Brussels sprouts, and then we're going to, in a hot saute pan, we're going to do 2 pieces of diced bacon... or 2 slices, mm-hmm. rather. And we're going to add 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of butter.
Oh, wait a minute. We're doing bacon oil.
Bacon oil.
Olive oil and butter.
And butter.
All right. I love this already.
Okay. All right. So, and then what we're going to do, once we get all that heated up, we're going to add, we're going to throw in our half pound of quartered Brussels sprouts. And so they're going to start snap, crackling, and popping a lot because those the leaves have a lot of water in them.
Yeah.
But Just be vigilant here. You can get through it. You might get burnt a little bit, but the outcome is going to be completely worth it. So what we're going to do is add 1 tablespoon of garlic, and then we're going to deglaze this with 1/4 cup of bourbon, and then we're going to add 1.5 cups of stock. You can use beef. You can use chicken. If you got veal stock, much, much better. And then we're going to start reducing that down. And while this is reducing, I'm going to add 1 diced tomato. Just like I said before, I like that nice, the acid. The acid brings a lot to the dish. And then we're going to add 1/4 cup of blue cheese. Stupid blue cheese, but it's so good. And, you know, as this is all reducing and the blue cheese starts melting, it's going to make a really, really nice sauce. And once it's reduced down to just kind of like a gravy consistency, then your Brussels sprouts should be done. And then when you serve it, just sprinkle some finely grated Parmesan over the top.
Boy, that sounds like 3 great little comfort food items.
Oh, yeah.
You have a comfort drink?
Actually, I did make a drink.
Okay.
I thought for, you know, just in case he asked for a drink, I did come up with a drink.
Well, as a matter of fact, we have enough time to get one in.
All right. Now, this is one that I really like. Been kind of thrown off by it, but it's really, really good. So what I do is some root beer, a little bit of chocolate syrup, a little bit of a heavy whipping cream, and just a pinch of salt. And it tastes like a root beer, salty root beer float with chocolate. I don't know. I like it a lot. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, come down to the restaurant and you can yell at me there.
So it's root beer.
Root beer.
Chocolate syrup.
Chocolate syrup.
Some rich whipping cream.
That's the stuff.
And a pinch of salt.
And a pinch of salt.
And do we add any liquor or anything like that? Or is that just a...
That's optional. That's optional. I figured I'd go with, a virgin drink.
And you have consumed this?
Multiple times, yes.
Is it served with ice?
Oh, yes, over ice.
I see. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Scott Muchenbaker, doggone you, son of a gun, thanks for coming by, and we look forward to hearing you when your podcast on KFGO.
Well, thanks for having me, Jack.
And be sure to Follow Sandy on Twitter.
Of course.
I need a picture of us together, though. It appears that they love pictures.
Buttweiler Sandy. It's at Buttweiler Sandy. And yeah. I am at Nodak Jack. Are you on Twitter, Scott?
You know, I started an account a long, long time ago, and I don't know how to get back onto it, so I might have to start a new account.
Lost out there, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me, Jack.
I think we're invading downtown tonight.
I'll be waiting.
You know, the J-Team will be downtown tonight.
J-Team's my favorite team.
So we'll see you down there, huh?
Sounds good, Jack.
You'll probably be busy, though, and won't have time to talk, but I might have this foo-foo drink. What do you call that?
The foo-foo drink.
The foo-foo drink. All right. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Scott Muchenbaker here with us. And always glad he can get away because he's a busy man. And always good to have him here with us on KFGO.